You are so welcome to the Round Table Podcast. Hope you have been enjoying our podcast so far. And today we've got the honor of having Kinsey Pentecost with us today, married to Connor Chadwick. So we'll say Kinsey Pentecost Chadwick. It's so great to have you with us.
Gives me more street cred. I married an Irish guy.
There you go. A good man from Dunlavin.
Yeah.
And also, Kinsey, thank you for 2 weeks ago for being with us. Speaking about your life and leadership. And if you missed out on that, please go back to our YouTube and our podcast on Apple, iTunes and on Spotify. We'd love you to hear about that and hear more about Kinsey's and Kinsey's story and her leadership insights also. But today we're going to talk about health and in very specifically speak about physical health. And one of the reasons why is because you and your company is one of the leading voices in the world in terms of health and wellness and well-being and physical health. And I just wanted to kind of be able to have a conversation with you because you've got so much wisdom and knowledge and insight in physical health. And I think that what this pandemic and this virus, the positive thing, if there is a positive thing that could come out of it, is that it's put the focus on people's health.
Yep.
And even me, it's anecdotal, objective evidence is that people seem like they're getting healthier or less a desire, you know, more out running, eating better, thinking about it, talking about it. And just to kind of get your insights to help us, how do we be more healthy? And so I'll just start with a very broad question, and I would like to get more into some specifics. But why do you believe it's important for us to value health?
Well, I really believe, and some of this, you know, happens over time when you get older. Unfortunately, you start to think about your health more. But what you feed yourself is going to give you the energy or the health to be able to do more. So I think for me, you know, my mom always says, quote my mother, that there's a verse in the Bible that says, even though it's permissible doesn't mean it's beneficial. And I think I heard that once connected to food, and I was like, oh, maybe my mother was right. And just because we can eat whatever we want doesn't mean we should.
Yeah.
And just the effects it's going to have on you mentally. I mean, foods can cause anxiety. I mean, there's so much that food can do. We're just passionate about teaching and giving people easy ways to get healthy, to be the best version of themselves.
Yeah. And one of the ways you're doing that is you're going to be launching a cookbook.
Yes.
It will have launched.
Yeah.
Now.
My second cookbook.
The name is?
Simply Balanced.
Simply Balanced. And where can people find this cookbook?
KinseyPentecost.com. It will be on my website.
And so what was the most, so what you've just said there about food and what you put into your body. And I think one of the things is, especially as Christians, we can very much value spiritual health, mental health, emotional health, but it's like we don't talk about or value the physical health, but yet that's what impacts everything else.
Yeah.
So where is that? What's on your heart and your motivation to really shout that out and to and put together a cookbook? Where does that come from?
Yeah, so what's funny is, you know, if I can encourage anyone, I used to not be very good in the kitchen and I didn't really care about this stuff at all. You know, I love Taco Bell. That's a fast food chain in America. That's really good Mexican food, but probably not that great for you.
Cheap Mexican food.
Yeah,
isn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah. But I would say, you know, what really motivated me is I didn't feel good all the time. I really felt sick, and just never felt like the best version of myself. And I never realized it was connected to food. And once I realized that and the power that food had to heal me, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to tell people about this. And so my journey really began about a decade ago, starting to unravel this and realize the power that we have as individuals to feel our best. And if we only knew that so many ways that we feel, and that can be mentally, physically, or even health issues, you know, came from food. And I think people just don't understand the significance there. And so I think the world's changed a lot. Everyone wants quicker and faster and more, which means they're adding things to food to mass produce. And it's not as bad in Ireland, but it is here. And so really understanding what you're eating and what you're feeding yourself, there's going to be ramifications for that. So I'm just passionate, but also I'm passionate about making it easy because I really feel like people get psyched out before they even start. They get overwhelmed. And so I really thought about my title for a long time because I want people to feel like they can do it. Baby steps. You know, you don't have to turn into a chef overnight, or, you know, you don't have to know it all to start. And so keeping it easy and balanced is key.
Okay. And so like that, because, you know, in Ireland, I guess you've been here now for over 5 years. And, you know, we're very starch heavy, have potatoes with everything.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of it is tied to the weather and how we feel.
Yeah.
And then how we feel is how we eat. And then how we eat is how we feel. How would you encourage someone to start? Like, where do I start? How do I start?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm really focused on gluten-free, dairy-free, but there's so many diets out there. There's like vegan and plant-based, and you're like, what do I do? Where do I start? And so I just tell people to start somewhere. So really, you know, in every diet, there's good and bad with being a vegan. You know, vegans are allowed white flour and sugar, and that's not great for someone. So you've got to look at every diet and figure out what's good and beneficial about that diet, and really turn it into a lifestyle. So I always tell people, okay, why don't you look at sugar first? Because sugar is usually the culprit of a lot of sicknesses and addiction. You can be addicted to sugar, believe it or not. And so I say, start somewhere. So look at your own diet. And if there's something that you struggle with, just give up one thing. Just start with one thing. Don't go all of a sudden, I'm going to be dairy-free, gluten-free. I'm going to do it all. You know, probably that's a lot. That's heavy. So I always say start somewhere and get accountability. Tell someone what you're doing. Start for like, 30 days. 30 days. You don't have to say forever for my whole life. Just 30 days. I'm going to give up Fizzy Pop. I'm going to give up chocolate. You know, whatever it is, one thing, and start there. And then my favorite thing is I love hacks. So I love like somebody telling me they love mashed potatoes, or I know you guys don't eat mashed potatoes. You like them all crispy. But then finding the alternative to that, you know, mashed cauliflower, it really tastes almost the same. So I really love asking people, what do you love and what do you think you can't give up? And then I'll come up with a hack for you.
Right, that's a really good way of looking at it. Like sweet potato fries instead of normal fries. And, you know, I can hear the voices, you know, responding back, well, it's expensive. And it can feel like that when you go into Dunn's or Tesco's and you want to eat healthy, it feels like it can be more expensive. What are some of the ways that you can it's very cost-effective ways of actually eating and preparing food?
Yeah, so, you know, what I would say before... this can be affected by the pandemic. So a big thing I would say is go to markets. So anywhere you can go. Ireland is great because there's local butchers, there's local places where you can get your vegetables. So those are great ways to find your locals and support them, and the cost comes down a lot. So those are really good ways to buy farmed produce and not have any and have to pay the extra organic cost. So there are times where you can find your own organic without having to pay the sticker price. And then I would say there's times where I'll buy bulk. So you know, I like to support local, but I'll go and try to figure out like who has the best price locally. You know, I know in Dublin, I'm a big fan of Hopsack, and they've got lots of stuff, but you can buy stuff in bulk. You can, you know, there's different places around Ireland where you can go in and bring your own container. So you're actually getting the cost down because you don't have to pay for the box or whatever, the can it comes in, and they'll put it all in your own containers.
Right.
So there's a lot of ways you can get creative and make it cost effective if you want to, if you want to make it a priority.
Excellent. That's great. And so, you know, when we look at then, so we've talked a little bit there about food and diet, and you've got, there's so much more to it as well. But what do you think is the relation between sleep, eating, and exercise? Because I think now you know, I got to read a book recently on sleep, and it's saying that we're having less sleep, we're more tired, and it's causing so much stress and anxiety and depression, where mental health illnesses are through the roof, hospitals are inundated, and a lot of it can go to very, very simple things like sleep and eating and exercise. You know, what is your experience with that and your knowledge and wisdom in that?
Well, I'd say I just had a wake-up call in this realm. So basically, I have been eating right, taking my vitamins, my nutrition, just doing everything right, doing my Pilates, and I'm killing it in life. But I'm not sleeping. And I'm like, and I've got anxiety, and I'm feeling off, and I can't sort it out. So I go to my nutritionist, which is a thing you do in America. So, you know, I go to her and I'm like, what's going on with me? You know, I'm doing everything and everything right, you know, and she said, let's talk about your sleep. And I'm like, okay, I don't sleep. And she's like, okay, what do you mean you don't sleep? And I said, well, once I don't sleep for like 2 days, which means I get about 3 or 4 hours a night for 2 days, then on the third night, I sleep really well. And she's like, well, yeah, I'd expect you to after that. But what she said to me is, my health will never be okay without sleeping. And she said, you can do everything right, eating, nutrition, vitamins, but if you're not sleeping, I'm taking years off my life. Mm. And I was like, and she's like, you're welcoming disease, sickness, everything. And I was like, oh my gosh, well, what's the problem? And she said, talk to me about your devices.
Right.
And I was like, oh, well, I'm on my phone, I'm on my iPad, I'm on my computer. And she said, that's why you're not sleeping. She said, you need 2 hours before you go to sleep, yeah, of not touching a device. That means, are you ready? No Netflix, no swiping, no nothing. And I'm like, whoa, what the heck? Again, I'm all about balance. I literally had to start with 15-minute increments to build up to 2 hours.
Yeah.
Now, knowing I go to bed around 11 every night at 9 o'clock, that phone has to leave my room because I'm too tempted. Mm-hmm. I mean, we literally have endorphins in our brain that are causing us to be addicted to our phones, to, yeah, think FOMO, we're missing out, I need that, and it's all tied back to our sleep. Mm-hmm. And so that is like the last thing in my life that I was like, oh, I got to get a handle. And I love working for a health and wellness company, because the first thing we did as a family, we all talked about it and we came out with a sleep product that's natural. And I would just tell people, like, magnesium's really good for, mm-hmm, sleep. Mm-hmm. But the biggest thing that you can do without spending a penny is getting rid of any sort of blue light.
Yeah.
Getting it out.
Wow, that's fantastic. And what is the name of the product and the company, which I never mentioned?
Oh, it's okay. I mean, I'm not, it works, Sleepy Tea, but
it's tea.
It is, it's
tea. All right,
tea,
okay. Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, you can get help. You can buy magnesium or whatever, and that can help you for sure. But I really believe as a culture, our problem isn't buying a product. I believe
it's
the blue light, it's the phones, you know, and we are glued to them. And so I said to her, my doctor, I said, how will I know when I'm getting sleep? You know, how will I know if I'm doing it right or whatever? Because she said, you need deep REM sleep. And I'm like, well, how will I know? Do I plug myself up to a device? Like, how do I know if I'm getting there? And she said, you'll dream again. Mm. So she said, if you're dreaming, you're sleeping the right amount.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. So I've started dreaming, and it's kind of my thing to figure out, am I sleeping, you know, and get that phone out of your room. So
I've experienced all the same things in the recent weeks. I never dreamed, never.
Mm.
And only in the last few weeks I started dreaming. I'm sleeping 9 hours a night. I literally lie down, I'm gone out cold. And Jillian, she's really struggles to sleep, so it's not really working for her yet. And we did very simple things like, you know, turn the devices off. I turn my device now, it's just black and white all the time. So it's supposed to reduce you wanting to pick it up.
Yeah, yeah.
I take magnesium at night, vitamin D in the morning. And like, we literally, like, we're winding down and winding down and winding down, and just I'm gone. And it's really impacted me, because I would struggle with stress quite a lot, just in terms of the role and the work. But how would you say then that, just, you know, you've got three key things there that you mentioned: sleep, your food, you talked about Pilates or exercise. How do you think that affects our mental and emotional health?
Oh, I think it's all connected. And just going back a little bit with what you just said about Jillian, you know, it's going to take time. So anytime you put a new pattern in place. You know, it, they say it takes 30 days to form a new habit. Mm-hmm. And so really, it's taken us however long looking at your own life that you've had, you know, these feelings. And they can come out in depression, feeling sad, anxious, moody. That maybe I've struggled with that one. You can ask my new husband. but, you know, those are going to be signs that something's off with your health.
Yeah.
And so I would say, you know, people ask me, like, what's the balance? And I think 80% is food.
Right.
And 20% is exercise, okay. Is how you should live, in my opinion, but somewhere around there. Because some people will, you know, be 80% in exercise and 20% food, but then you really, you are what you eat and, mm-hmm. and you feel what you eat. And so, you know, so many people are like, oh, I feel bloated or I feel sick or this or that. And I'm like, well, what are you eating? So I do think that it's all very connected. And that last piece really is sleep. Mm-hmm. I mean, my goodness, I think for all of it, you just need to really focus on your sleep. But as long as it took you to build your bad habits, it's going to take time.
Yeah.
So be gracious with yourself and know baby steps. You know, when that doctor told me I had to go 2 hours with no device, I was like, is she joking? Like, I don't, how will I get my work done? You know, and my staff are used to me emailing them at 2 a.m, 4 a.m. They're
wow.
like, do you sleep? And I'm like, no. And I'm great. And then I was
crash,
learning how.
Probably,
yeah, yeah, I do. I crash. And so I think it's so key.
That's great. And how has it changed now? You know, since you started sleeping, how has that changed everything for you?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. It's that grace. And so I can have a month of killing it in life and I've done my goals and I'm sleeping. And then, you know, we could have a deadline and I backtrack or I try to clutch that phone a little tighter when Connor comes in to take the phones out of the room. And he's like, it's time. He gets really happy when it's time to exit the phones from the room. But I think there's balance and there's grace in all of it. And it's my checkpoint, you know, of for me, I know how I feel. I've tasted feeling my best and I'm not willing to not live like that. Because when you're overflowing goodness, you know, feeling good and people are drawn to you, that mm-hmm. energy, mm-hmm. you know, they want to be around you. They want more of you. Mm-hmm. And when I'm not sleeping, nobody wants to be around me. I mean, it's like grin and bear because I have to try to make it through my days.
Yeah.
So I'd say you can tell the difference.
Right. And so, you know, even when you're saying all those things and it, you know, they sound so simple. They really do, like cutting things out, your food, you know, putting away your devices. But what I found is when I'm in that vicious cycle of I'm tired, so I'll stay up later, I'll watch Netflix longer, you know, one more episode.
Yeah.
How do you break that cycle? When you're so tired, you can't even think of starting something new. How would you say, like, what would be one thing that you could do to break that cycle, to be able to start again?
Well, I think it's your life. And at the end of the day, you know, what does it mean to you? And so you've got to be self-motivated and you've got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired. Mm-hmm. And so I know how I feel when I wake up after keeping my iPad on for too long. I know how I feel and I feel more exhausted and the day's that much harder. And so I have to get to the end to restart again. But I mean, for those of you that aren't single, great accountability is your spouse. I mean, I know that I'm the worst offender of working to the wee hours and Connor's not. And so Connor's in charge of exiting our phones from the room.
Right.
I mean, they always say, like, you have, you know, when you're talking finances, like a spender and a saver,
yeah.
It's the same with boundaries with phones, maybe with food. I'm way better at eating healthy. So I'm in charge of our menus, you know, and I'm in charge of making sure our menus are healthy because Connor would eat shepherd's pie every day of his life. And so you set yourself up for success in your own family and you kind of see who's good at what, and then I divide and conquer. So that's how it works for me. But when I was single, you know, I had to, again, just have those goals. And then I share them with people. I'm so transparent with my friends. I've always had two or three accountability partners that I share life with. And how are you doing with that? If it's important to you, then you should be sharing it and asking someone to check in on you, just like you would with any other boundary or conviction you have. Why do we have this in, you know, wait to have sex until you're married, but we don't have this with boundaries, with media and food? I don't know, because it's our well-being, it's our mental health, it's everything. Yeah. So
yeah, and I think especially as Christians, we should be the ones shouting it from the rooftops. And I think a lot of it for me is on education in terms of, oh, I didn't know that that's how that works. Or I didn't know that if you turn off your device 2 hours beforehand, you know, it's going to help you wind down. And I think it is sometimes often the practical things that you can put in place. One thing that I wanted to talk to you about, because it's something that I've discovered recently, is about the gut. All about your gut and how you eat. And like you said, what you put into you affects who you are, and you become your food and become what you eat. And I've done dairy-free, gluten-free for a while now, and actually it's really impacted my sleep. How important is a healthy gut, and what are the right foods and diet that we can eat and absorb to make a healthy gut?
So I learned a long time ago that sugar is the culprit. And so somebody gave me a word picture of, there's like a monster in your belly and it eats sugar. And if you feed that monster, he'll, you know, cause the least amount of damage as possible. So for you, it might be feeling bloated or not your best, tired, exhausted if you don't feed the monster. For other people, it's more. It could be cancer. It could be more, you know, there's people that you hear that are like, oh, I can't eat dairy because, you know, I'm allergic or I get sick. But I really believe that most of us shouldn't be eating dairy or gluten, because it's causing a lot of health issues for us, the way it's processed and what it does to our bodies. And so for me, that gut health is all about starving that monster, which means really starving sugar. You know, you're not feeding it sugar. Yeah. And so I was very motivated by that, because I was told, you know, if you starve that monster for 30 days, then you're going to get stronger and stronger, and you'll know when to start adding back food in. And so for me, I'm all about detoxing and not giving, and sugar's in everything. Sugar is in milk.
Especially in Ireland. Sugar is in everything.
Sugar's even, well, sugar's in fruit. I mean, there's certain fruit that you got to stay away from, you know? And so obviously, I really believe in gut health, and I believe that if you do that, you can start adding things back in. Like, there's good, like maple syrup or honey, dark chocolate. There's so much we can have. It's unbelievable. You know, it's like the Garden of Eden. It's like you could have everything except for this. And what did Adam and Eve want? They wanted that. Yeah. And that's us now. And we can look at them and be like, I can't believe they did that. Well, we're doing it every day. Yeah. You know, we're eating whatever we want, when we want, and we're justifying it. And it's really hurting our bodies. So I believe if you took care of your gut and you detoxed and got healthy, I really think that you would feel so good, you would never look back.
And then on that, you know, going with that same kind of line for yourself, a lot of us have children. Like myself, I've got three little boys, and trying to feed them is one of the most difficult things, because they just keep eating, and you got to keep feeding them, and it gets expensive, and they're still only 6, 4, and 2. What are some of the ways that we can teach our young kids from an early age and how to do this? And what are some of the things practically that we can do?
Well, I wouldn't say I'm an expert on children yet, but I would say, just from coaching and helping friends, I'm all about meal prepping, and I'm all about, like, do not cook once when you could cook, like, you know, double, quadruple the recipe and make it work for longer, you know, so you have those snacks you can heat up quickly or pull out. And so I really believe in prepping to help you as a parent, and having those types of things in case you don't feel like cooking, or making a meal three times and freezing it and pulling it out. So if you have a lazy day, you can be lazy. But I think kids don't know what they don't know, and you're teaching them. So if you're teaching them, like, it's fine, have that sugar all day long or whatever, you know, obviously, you're going to probably be more affected because of the sugar highs that they'll have. But yeah, I think that we as parents can really teach them, you know, the difference. And now, I mean, gosh, there's so many alternatives out there. Like when I was little, I actually couldn't eat dairy and they thought I was allergic. And now I just know that I'm intolerant, but a lot of people are. And I can eat it, but it'll make me sick. It'll make me feel bad. And now I'm like, we've got almond milk, oat milk, cashew milk, or you know, everything you want to name with a nut, we can make it into milk now. And it's amazing. And so there's really no reason for it. And I would say as parents, we need to be educated because it'll make our kids' lives a lot easier. Mm-hmm. When I see my nephew eating seaweed, I'm like laughing because I'm like, good for, you know, my brother teaching him that seaweed's a snack. but, you know, not that every kid will want seaweed, but.
That's really good, though, because I do think we have an opportunity to actually teach the next generation and self-sustainable food, not processed food.
Yeah.
And in our home, it is difficult because it can be the easier option. It's definitely the cheaper option. But trying to, I think it's then us as well, educating ourselves so that we can educate our children. What are some of the ways, just, you know, as you've given so many key little key tips there and things for us to implement, but how can we continue to educate ourselves when it comes to food? Because what I feel is there's so many different diets, there's so many different options, and each advocate tells you that this is the best one.
Yeah.
How do you get educated for yourself, your own body type, your own needs? How would you go about doing that?
I mean, I think with anyone, it's going to take learning yourself and what works for you. And I really tried to focus, even in my cookbook, not focusing on one specific diet. You know, it's not plant-based. It's not keto. It's just about learning balance. Mm. So for me, I mean, I talk a lot about sugar because I really believe even now there's so much alternative sugar, like coconut sugar and maple syrup, different things you can use that are so much better than refined sugar. So really, once you learn, and again, I knew nothing about any of this. And I just started learning and researching. And I would say Google is your best friend. I mean, you really can learn a lot about, depending on how deep you want to go. I'm very 101. I mean, my cookbook and my blogs and my website, it's all, you know, that's all free, that the website, whatnot. So you can always message me. I can help people start, but there's so much out there with chefs and foodies. And I would say every diet has limitations. Mm. You know, people that are eating keto, I've had friends go, I'm not losing any weight. And I'm like, well, you're eating like way too many servings of cheese and you're too many carbs, you know? And so there's pieces of it that's like, you've got to learn. Same for vegan. I've said, they can have flour and refined sugar. And so you've got to know gluten-free. Oh my gosh, you could really be unhealthy eating gluten-free. And so you've got to know what you're doing and what you should be, how to balance in all of those things. Because it's not one diet. It's going to be learning balance and what you should be doing for your body.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. So thank you so much. And just the last question I want to ask you is just, so what you really said there is if you were to pick one thing in being healthy physically, it would be food. That's the message that you're really trying to hit home. So for anyone who's feeling unhealthy and wants to start, what is the first thing that they should do tomorrow? Should they go to the shops or the farmer's market and buy this new, you know, ingredients and start cooking with it? What should be the first thing that they should do tomorrow?
I mean, if you want like a basic answer, I would say cut the sugar, cut the carbs. That's what I'd say. And I would say start there with your veg, your meats. You can have meat. Again, I would stick to organic. If you can't find organic, the best thing to do would be to eat lamb. They're the most organic on their own, poor little lambs. But again, balance, you know, you don't go out and become a carnivore. You know, 30% of your diet should be meat. So you've got to be careful how much meat you're getting. And it's the same for if you're not eating meat, you've got to make sure you're getting the nutrients you need. You need to up your game because a lot of nutrients come from meat. So get some vitamins. So I would say sugar is not your friend. And there's so much now available to you, like coconut sugar, that you can still have all the yummy good things in your life. And I would say, yeah, start, just start. So, you know, for me, when I first started eating healthy, I literally was obsessed. I think you call it fizzy pop. What do you call it here?
Like soda.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What do we call it?
Fizzy.
What do we call it? Fizzy pop? Do we call it fizzy pop? Fizzy drinks. That's it. Fizzy. I knew it wasn't pop.
Well, I call it pop. Sorry.
Fizzy drinks. Yeah, yeah,
from
yeah.
The
fizzy
North.
Drinks. Yeah.
Okay, we call it pop. But I couldn't dream of a life without pop and nachos. I was like, right. All I want in my life is tacos, nachos, and pop. So I gave all that up. And that was it. I was like, this is the best I can do. And I started there.
Yeah.
And then I kept getting healthier and kept getting healthier as I went. And so I wouldn't say to anybody, like, you know, unless you're very motivated and driven, to start everything at once. Baby steps to get you there, you know. And there's so many blogs. I mean, you could go on and Google, like, benefits of detox, benefits of no dairy in your diet. You know, you could learn all of this by our little friend Google. But I would just literally say, if you wanted an easy answer, I'd say cut out the sugar and cut out the carbs and start there.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And I really do, as I said, I think it's so valuable for us to be getting insight as Christians in particular. I know many people might be listening, they're not Christians or they're just discovering faith, but all areas of our health, including our physical health. So we've got Simply Balanced at kinseypentecost.com and of course following you on Instagram and Facebook and all those things. But thank you so much. Really, really appreciate you. And thank you again for watching us here and listening at the round table. And we'll be back next week with more conversations. God bless.